Blog Talk Radio.
Live, folks. We are in the midst of a downpour thunderstorm, so you may hear loud booms in the background. Welcome to another edition of Christian Church Online. We want you to imagine this. You're coming to our house. You're knocking on our door. You've got your Bible with you. You come on in out of the rain because it's raining. We tell you, hey, you know what? You know, take your shoes off, get comfortable. What do you want? Coffee, tea, donuts, cookies. But Joe, please don't take your shoes off because remember what happened last time? You stunk up the place. And no, just kidding. Joe, you can take your shoes off also. And what we're going to do today, you guys, is we are going to have a Bible study and we're also going to open the phone lines up to sweet, cuddly, huggable, lovable atheist. We like to do this. We love the atheist. We respect the atheist, even though they're wrong. And here comes the thunder. I just saw the clap of lightning, the flash of lightning, the clap of thunder is following. So we're going to ask this question. I don't know if you can hear that. Thunder. We're going to ask this question. Just makes the show more epic. As I'm talking, the thunder's, you know, just roaring, and it just really gives it a good ambiance. So here's the phone number, and then I'm going to give the atheist listeners the challenge question for this evening, 515-602-9778 is the phone number. It's also right there on the webpage here. The challenge question is this. We just want the atheist to call in because we want to keep the lines open for them. We do this every radio show. Atheist, answer this question. What proof and evidence can you provide that would finally at last prove that atheism is accurate and correct? That phone number again is 515-602-9778. I know a lot of people that have left atheism because they've realized it has an evidence problem. There is no evidence that atheism is accurate and correct. So before we start the Bible study, you got your Bibles ready? Joe, you got your shoes off? Great. Before we start the Bible study and get Mary, Mary needs some coffee there in her coffee cup. We'll take care of you guys. Let's go through some news events. So for those of you that are Trump supporters and you're pro-life and you do not want to vote for Joe Biden, the pro-abortion president that supports killing of babies, you are going to love this. So right here on the news, it shows it's the number one story, CNN, Fox News. Federal judge announces Trump January 6th trial in D.C. delayed indefinitely. What the heck? Jack Smith is just losing control of this case. So that might be some good news. You know, Jack Smith was trying to get this through to lower some of Trump's poll numbers. I don't think he's going to be able to get this through before the election, but we'll see what happens. Now, there is another interesting story, you know, from a Christian perspective. There was this Connecticut high school into this weird transgender stuff where they will say that boys can have periods and stuff. This is just weird. And so they put, I'm not making this up, I never thought I'd see the day. Aren't we sounding like our parents and our grandparents now? I never thought I'd see the day when pot smoking would be legal, or I never thought I'd see the day where they'd put a tampon dispenser in a boy's restroom. This is just wicked. So thank God that they had some bold Christian boys in there in high school that ripped it right off of the wall. So it said it only took, the news here says it only took roughly 20 minutes for a tampon dispenser in a boy's restroom at Brookfield High School in Brookfield, Connecticut, to be torn down and thrown to the side. You know, this is some Bible stuff here where Jesus went in and the money changers and he just was kicking over tables and his righteous anger because he was right. And here you have these righteous Christian high schoolers just tearing down the tampon dispenser. This is just madness. We do know that the people that are running that school, they're very atheistic. So what do you expect? Today, we are going to be doing a Bible study on Genesis. And do you know that many atheists are Bible believers? They believe in parts of the Bible. As we go through this Bible study, I'm going to point out things that atheists agree with in the Bible. That's right. And so the atheists are limited Bible believers. We just want to expand their minds where they'll be believing more in God's word. So we're going to give the phone number again and the challenge, 515-602-9778 is the phone number, atheist. You are going to courageously call us up either now or after the Bible study. If you call in anytime now within 5 or 10 minutes before we start the Bible study, I'll put you on the air and you can answer this question. What proof and evidence can you provide that proves atheism is accurate and correct? Because as you know, people are leaving atheism because there's no evidence in it. But when I go to start the Bible study, to be fair, I'll let you guys know we're starting the Bible study. So hold your calls because we don't want to interrupt the Bible study. Now, you know, sometimes when we're doing studies on Genesis, there will be a disagreement between Muslims, atheists, and Muslims. You're allowed to join our Bible study also. There'll be a disagreement on the age of the earth. And I want to tell you about this debate that I had with an atheist one time, and what he said was very unscientific and unusual. So right now, and I'm not going to go to even a pro-Christian site that supports 100% what I believe in. Let's go to a very secular site, and let's use that, Wikipedia, okay? Wikipedia is not known for being a pro-Christian site, okay? So even the atheists would agree that I can use this as a source. So if you go to Wikipedia and you type in age of the earth, in the year 2024, it says the age of the earth is estimated to be 4.54 billion years old. You follow me? Now, however, when you actually look at what scientists have said throughout history, they keep changing the age of the earth. They keep getting it wrong. And so just to give an example, in 1790, the scientists were saying the earth was about 96 million years old. So I was in this debate with this sweet, cuddly, huggable, lovable atheist, and I asked him a science question. I said, when the scientists said that the age of the earth was about 96 million years old, was that a fact? Even though now they're saying that was incorrect. It's like 4.54 billion years old. I wanted him to say, just admit that scientists make mistakes all the time. They're in the business of making mistakes. But science is always evolving, and it's not necessarily something that you can hang your hat on and depend on. And he said, what do you mean? I said, well, people were depending on the fact that it was a fact that the Earth was 96 million years old in the 17th century. This is what they were saying. Around 1790, the scientists were saying that. I told him, open up the Wikipedia page, read it with me. So here's the question. I asked him, was it a fact that the age of the Earth was 96 million years old when the scientists were saying it? And the correct answer is, you know, is no, it wasn't a fact. I mean, after all, they're saying the Earth is over 4 billion years old now, 4.54. All I wanted the atheist to do was admit that science is wrong a lot. If you want to think of people that make mistakes all the time, seriously, think of scientists. They're constantly making mistakes. So I asked him this. And you know what he said? He didn't want to admit that science makes mistakes all the time. And he said, I said, was it a fact? Now, everyone with a brain would admit that that's not a fact. It can't be a fact that the age of the Earth is 96 million years old, but it's also 4.54 billion years old. The law of non-contradiction would be broken. This is not rational thinking to say it's a fact, but to my shock, the atheist said it is a fact that the Earth was 96 million years old. Facts change, he said, in light of the evidence. Now, I ask you, ladies and gentlemen, was that atheist right? Was it ever a fact that the Earth was 96 million years old in the 1790s? The answer is no. It was never a fact. But this is the weird type of, I was going to say logic, but lack of logic that is in the atheist community. So I thought maybe he just doesn't get it. So then I said, okay, in 1779, which of course is earlier than 1790, not by a lot, the scientists said that the Earth was about 75,000 years old. Was that a fact? And he said, to my shock, he said, yes, it was a fact. You see, this is not correct thinking. This is not science. It wasn't a fact at all. For example, the Christian scientist used to claim that the universe had a beginning, but the atheist scientist claimed, no, the universe is just eternal and uncaused, like God is, for example. But do you know that with modern science finally caught up to what Christian scientists were saying all the time. And now with modern science, all evidence shows the universe had a beginning. Even if people want to posit the multiverse, all evidence, not the majority of evidence, mind you, all evidence shows that the universe had a beginning. And so I asked the atheist, I said, was it a fact that the universe was eternal and uncaused? And he changed the subject. Now he knows where I'm going with this. He's realizing that his atheism is rotting his brain. I like to roll the R's when I say his atheism is rotting his brain. Now we're running out of time, so I got to hurry because we're going to get into the Bible study. So the fact of the matter is, these scientists are changing the age of the Earth all the time. I do not have any confidence in what these scientists are saying. How do they know the age of the Earth is 4.54 billion years old? I bet if we were a fly on the wall, let's say, if the Lord tarries another million years from now, the age of the Earth is even going to change then. And I think if you're honest, even our atheist listeners would agree that, yeah, they're going to change it again. So please, my atheist friends, don't be calling things facts when these scientists are getting them wrong over and over and over again. Now, I recently called into a Democrat radio show, and I love science. Science is like one of the most interesting topics. It's science that helps me to realize how right I am as a Christian. When I see all this design and I see the complexity of the cell, and so sometimes, though, what I've noticed is Democrats don't seem to really want to follow science. They really politicize it a lot. So I called into this Democrat radio show. Listen to this. And they were talking about how wonderful the vaccines are, the COVID vaccines. And I was telling them about this cartoon meme. Like a meme is like a cartoon, and you've probably seen it. It's Jill Biden and Joe Biden, and they're standing there talking to the doctor. They're there in this room talking to the doctor, and Jill Biden has got COVID. Like, I've lost track how many times she's got COVID, and we only want the best for her, okay? We pray for Jill and Joe Biden that they become saved and become real Christians. We only want the best for them. But the cartoon meme has this doctor saying, well, Joe, she's got COVID again. And then Joe Biden says, after three vaccines and four boosters, well, give her another one. Now, these vaccines, there seems to be an issue with them. So when I called into this Democrat show, I said, why is it that the majority of people that are dying are the ones that have had the vaccine? The majority of people dying from COVID, I should say, are the ones that have had the vaccine. And they went ballistic and started yelling at me, even though I gave them the CDC website. I gave them the actual link. Listen to this. Since April 2022, people vaccinated against COVID-19 have comprised the majority of COVID-19 deaths in the U.S. compared with unvaccinated people. Let's go through that again. Let's not read anything into it, but let's just let the facts. Now, this is a fact, the scientific fact. Just let it lie there and let it marinate for a moment. Since April 2022, people vaccinated against COVID-19 have comprised the majority of COVID-19 deaths in the U.S. compared with unvaccinated people. And they said, well, what's your source? And I gave them the source. I said, it's the CDC. It's like finding a needle in a haystack on the CDC site because they want to hide this fact. But you can go to PolitiFact. And it's there. Just type in more deaths among vaccinated Americans and then type PolitiFact, okay? Now, also on KFF.org, it says, why do vaccinated people represent most COVID-19 deaths right now? And it says the same thing as the CDC site. It says, since April 2022, the United States Center for Disease Control, this is the CDC, okay, data show that about 6 in 10 adults dying of COVID-19 were vaccinated or boosted. And that's remained true through at least August 2022. So why is this the case? Well, here's some interesting statistics. Let's go to Reuters or let's go to USA Today, and then I'll go to Reuters. Let me see. Is this Reuters? Okay, USA Today, which is more of a left-leaning site. You know, I'm a conservative Christian. So I like to show you that even they're admitting it. On the USA Today site, there's a picture of Biden, and he's got, like, the mask on. And it says, 80% of Americans 12 and over have been vaccinated. And it says Michigan is nation's hotspot as infections rise. And so get this, 80% of Americans have had at least one shot. Ladies and gentlemen, I'm in the 20%. Okay. So why is it that the majority of people that are dying of COVID-19 have been vaccinated? I think you would say, well, either it's the vaccine or the vaccine's not effective, or why isn't it protecting them? You would think the majority of the people that were vaccinated would not be dying from COVID-19, you know? And so I think it was irresponsible for President Biden to come out, and he said, and I quote, "If you get the vaccine, you're not going to get COVID." That is so irresponsible for him to say that. Now let's go to one more thing, and then I'm going to ask the question. Well, let's ask the question again, because atheists, in about 4 minutes, 5 minutes, we're going to start the Bible study. But if you call in, call this number. I want to ask you the question first, then you're going to call this number and answer the question. What evidence, what proof do you have? What proof and evidence do you have as an atheist that would prove atheism is accurate and correct? What proof and evidence do you have that would prove atheism is accurate and correct? Phone number 515-602-9778. Give us a call and I'll put you on the air, and you could just say, we'll be kind to you, of course. You know, I respect people even when they're wrong. And you could say, hey, you know what, here's the proof and evidence why atheism is accurate and correct, and you'll have your say. The reason why I ask that is I've been doing it for 18 years, and I've never had even one atheist be able to provide proof or evidence that atheism is accurate or correct. So it's a little science experiment I like to do. Now, on Reuters, they are trying to do damage control. Since most people that are dying of COVID-19 since 2022, like the CDC said, have been vaccinated. So here's what Reuters said, and you can check it out. The caption is, finding that most people, you know, the scientific finding, that most people dying from COVID-19 are vaccinated does not mean vaccines don't work. Now, this is what they're saying. Just because you died doesn't mean the vaccine didn't work. I'm telling you, you can't write comedy like this, folks. It's just really unusual that they're saying, yes, you've taken the vaccine and you've died. It doesn't mean the vaccine didn't work. Really? Was that what the vaccine was supposed to do? It's just madness. And that's from Reuters. It's called Reuters Fact Check, and then they try to explain it away like, I just don't get that. If someone's dead, they're dead. It's kind of hard to argue away to say that vaccine was very effective, you know, but this is, check it out, Reuters and PolitiFact, the CDC. It's interesting, but when I said this and I gave the sources, these Democrats on the radio show, you could hear a pin drop. It was like they're not used to seeing scientific facts. One of the gals on the show was in the medical profession, and I asked her, do you know what percentage of Americans have had at least one vaccine? She didn't even know. And she's in the medical profession. I knew. I said, about 80%. I go, you can Bing it. You can Google it. How could people not know this? You know, so we don't have any atheists calling in, folks. And I'm going to tell you why, because there is no proof and evidence that atheism is accurate and correct. Never has been, never will. Isn't it wonderful to be able to open up the Bible and have something that we can, something solid, some solid ground that we could rest on and that we could anchor our soul to? Isn't it awesome? Well, Everyone got their coffee ready? You got your Bibles open? All right, here we go. Let's cover Genesis and open your Bibles to Genesis. All right, everybody. So hope you got your Bibles out. Just pretend you're in our living room. We're pouring you coffee. You've got your shoes off. Get your feet off the coffee table. No, we're kidding. Put your feet up on the coffee table. Do whatever you like. We're bringing you donuts, tea, whatever you need, and we're all just brothers and sisters in the Lord if you're not saved yet. I am confident that you soon will be as we do this Bible study. Now, we're going to be doing a Bible study from Genesis, and what's amazing is the consensus by biblical scholars is that Moses is the author of Genesis. This is the same Moses that brought us the Ten Commandments from God's literal hands, and the same Moses that was able to hide in the cleft of the rock and see God as he passed by, the same Moses whose face was just glowing after he saw God. You remember when the people wanted to hear from God, and Moses kept saying, okay, in a few days you're going to hear from God, and tomorrow you're going to hear from God, and they heard God's voice, and they were terrified, and they felt like they were going to die, and they said to Moses, look, we don't want to hear God's voice. You speak to us. We do not want to hear God's voice, you know, lest we die. I mean, this was how epic the voice of God is and was and is to come. So, but we still can hear from God's voice. You know, Timothy, in Scripture, in Timothy it says, all of Scripture is God-breathed. So let's begin, and as we go through this, I'm going to stop along the way and bring some things to our attention, things that I've been taught that have really helped me. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. So you notice, in the beginning, and God's already there. The earth was without form and void, and darkness was on the face of the deep, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Now, let's stop a second here. You notice it says the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Do you know that atheists used to believe, the atheist scientist used to disagree with Christian scientists on this fact? The fact is the universe had a beginning. All evidence points to the universe having a beginning. Not most of the evidence, all evidence points to the universe having a beginning. But you know, this was not always believed by the secular atheists. They had ridiculed Christians like you and I for a long time. How could you believe that the universe had a beginning? It just is eternal and uncaused. But you know, modern science has helped Christianity so much. It has helped with cosmological issues. It has helped with pro-life issues, as we are able to see this living baby, you know, within the womb. It's just amazing. And so science discovered that all matter, space, time, that's right, even time and energy, came into existence. They're not eternal. So this means that there cannot be a material cause to the universe, because there was no matter or energy or even time didn't exist. But it could be spiritual. And it is interesting that Genesis 1 says, and the Spirit of God was hovering over the face of the waters. Then God said, let there be light, and there was light. And God saw the light that it was good, and God divided the light from the darkness. God called the light day, and the darkness he called night. So the evening and the morning were the first day. Then God said, let there be a firmament in the midst of the waters, and let it divide the waters from the waters. Thus God made the firmament and divided the waters which were under the firmament from the waters which were above the firmament, and it was so. And God called the firmament heaven. So the evening and the morning were the second day. Then God said, let the waters under the heavens be gathered together into one place, and let the dry land appear. And it was so. And God called the dry land earth, and the gathering together of the waters he called seas. And God saw that it was good. Now, for those of you that know people that believe in evolution, what a lot of the evolutionists will say is, well, all these things like plants and animals and humans, they all came from the earth. The problem is that these atheists will claim that it came from the earth just by itself with no design and no cause, that it just by luck and chance came into existence. This is what they say. Luck and chance did it. And when you say, well, what's the purpose for all this? They'll say there is no purpose. But remember my first point. Any atheist will tell you, people that try to deny God's existence, they'll say that everything came forth from the earth. Well, let's read what Scripture says. Now, we know that Genesis is not a science book, but some things we can go ahead and say, well, you know what? This is exactly what atheists believe in. Atheists believe in parts of the Bible. So notice what it says. Then God said, let the earth bring forth grass, the herb that yields seed, and the fruit tree that yields fruit according to its kind, whose seed is in itself on the earth. And it was so. So what did God use to bring forth these things? That's right, the earth. So the atheists are limited Bible believers. You notice they're agreeing with facts, what happened. Atheists also say that, you know, grass was created, the earth created grass and fruit trees and things like that. Well, let's see what the next passage says. And the earth brought forth grass, the herb that yields seed according to its kind, and the tree that yields fruit, whose seed is in itself according to its kind, and God saw that it was good. So the evening and the morning were the third day. So just because God creates the earth and now the earth is producing these things doesn't mean that God doesn't exist, because God's not there constantly producing these things. He created a system that produces these things. And the atheists, of course, agree with the passage that we just said. Now, the only thing is they don't believe that it had any help. They believe that it just magically did it by itself. The atheists believe in some weird things, ladies and gentlemen. They believe there was a massive explosion, and this massive explosion brought humans into existence with all the design and their respiratory system and the complexity of the cell, DNA, your arteries, how you have plumbing so you can go to the restroom. And all this, they believe a massive explosion did this, which is why atheism is madness in its purest form. So let's continue. Then God said, let there be lights in the firmament of heavens to divide the day from the night, and let them be for signs and seasons and for days and years, and let them be for lights in the firmament of the heavens to give light on the earth, and it was so. Then God made two great lights, the greater light to rule the day and the lesser light to rule the night. You know how we have, like, you know, the moon, which gives off the glow from the sun, and then we have the sun, and we have the stars. So we received a call from an atheist, and I always ask this challenge question on our show, and no atheist has been able to answer it. And I said, what proof and evidence can you provide that would finally at last prove that atheism is accurate and correct? And he said, well, there aren't two great lights. You know, and I'm like, well, notice what it says. It says, the greater light, like the stronger light to rule the day, and the lesser light to rule the night. everyone that reads this knows this isn't like some scientific interpretation, but they're talking about, you know, the moon, the stars here. He says he made the stars also. And these do give off light, but they're lesser lights than the sun. God set them in the firmament of the heavens to give light on the earth and to rule over the day and over the night and to divide the light from the darkness. And God saw that it was good. So evening and the morning were the fourth day. Now, the atheists will say that fish were created by water. They say that water created the fish, and this is things that they say. So let's look what it says here. Then God said, let the waters abound with an abundance of living creatures, and let birds fly above the earth across the face of the firmament of the heavens. So God created great sea creatures and every living thing that moves with which the waters abound according to their kind, notice, and every winged bird according to its kind. And God saw that it was good. And God blessed them, saying, be fruitful and multiply and fill the waters and the seas and let birds multiply on the earth. So the evening and the morning were the fifth day. You see dogs giving birth to dogs. We have different species of dog, different breeds, I should say. And, of course, they're all dogs. Same thing with cats. They're all giving birth to their kind. Same thing with horses. You never see a horse give birth to a dog. You know, notice it's all orderly. Now, what is bringing forth these creatures? The atheists will say these creatures are coming forth from the earth. Well, they're limited Bible believers. Then God said, listen, let the earth bring forth the living creature according to its kind. Cattle and creeping thing and beast of the earth, each according to its kind, and it was so. So you see, it's interesting that the atheists really agree a lot with Christians, but they believe it's like magic dirt or magic earth, and the earth did it by itself with no design and no help. Now, sometimes I'll do like little YouTube videos, and I have a motorcycle. And I'll point to the motorcycle and I'll say, would you believe me if I said there was a massive explosion and this motorcycle came out of that explosion? Like if you put all the parts in a sealed room and just blew it up. I don't care how many times you blow it up, it's not going to come together like that. And everyone agrees that that would be totally stupid. Well, do you know the human body is over a billion, trillion, zillion times? The human body is over a trillion times more complex than the motorcycle. And so this is why we're challenging atheists to provide proof and evidence that atheism is accurate and correct. No one in their right mind would believe that there was a massive explosion, and over billions of years, you're the product of that massive explosion. Over a trillion times more complex than my motorcycle. I mean, please. This is why in Psalm 14 it says, a fool says within their heart there is no God. So notice, out of the earth these things come forth. Now, the earth isn't doing it by itself. I'm not saying that, of course. But it says, then God said, let the earth bring forth the living creature according to its kind. You see what I'm saying, guys? Cattle and creeping thing and beast of the earth according to its kind. And notice, everything that creeps on the earth according to its kind, and God saw that it was good. But now watch what happens. God does not look at man as an animal that is evolved. Everything changes when we get to man. Then God said, let us make man in our image, according to our likeness. Let them have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over the cattle, over all the earth, and over every creeping thing that creeps on the earth. Notice, we're not just equal with the animals. We have dominion over them, and we're also made in what? In the image of God. The humanist, the atheist, the secularist, it's really demonic what they're doing. They're trying to change the normal order of you and I being created in the image of God to where we're just, you know, evolved primates and share common ancestry with apes. I mean, please, this is not what Scripture says. So God created man in his own image. In the image of God, he created him. Male and female, he created them. Then God blessed them, and God said to them, be fruitful, multiply, fill the earth and subdue it. Have dominion over the fish of the sea, over the birds of the air, and over every living thing that moves on the earth. And God said, see, I've given you every herb that yields seed, which is on the face of all the earth, and every tree whose fruit yields seed, to you it shall be for food, also to every beast of the earth, to every bird of the air, and to everything that creeps on the earth in which there is life, I have given every green herb for food, and it was so. Then God saw everything that he had made, and indeed it was very good. So the evening and the morning were the sixth day. Now, it says, in Genesis 2, it says, thus the heavens and the earth and all the host of them were finished. And on the seventh day, God ended his work which he had done, and he rested on the seventh day from all his work which he had done. Then God blessed the seventh day and sanctified it, because in it he rested from all his work which God had created and made. This is, remember, biblical scholars have come to a consensus agreement that this is Genesis is scripture that Moses had written. So, because notice what he says here. Excuse me. This is the history of the heavens and the earth when they were created in the day that the Lord God made the earth and the heavens. Before any plant of the field was in the earth and before any herb of the field had grown, for the Lord God had not caused it to rain on the earth, and there was no man to till the ground, but a mist went up from the earth and watered the whole face of the ground. And this goes back to how our atheist friends are limited Bible believers. They believe what I'm about to tell you. You're probably going to laugh, but let's have compassion on our atheist friends. They believe that a rock gave birth to all of mankind. Like the rock was there like a woman just pushing out the first human. So they believe over, you know, time is the magic elixir that does everything for the atheist. When you say, well, how did a rock give birth to all men? They'll never answer it. They'll say, oh, it took billions of years for it to happen. That's not an answer. This laptop computer in front of me, let's say it took, you know, 3 days for it to be created, right? And if you ask me, well, how was it created? And I'm like, it took 3 days. That's not really answering your question. But they think by just saying time did it, that they can escape having to use reason and common sense. But notice, it is not reasonable and it's not common sense to believe, like atheists do, that a rock gave birth to all mankind. Do you know that atheists believe that nothing created everything? They believe that non-life created life. Now, there's no scientific evidence of that. Even you and I, what we see with our eyes, we see, you know, humans creating humans. We see animals begetting animals. We don't see something that's not living create complex life. We don't see it. Non-life cannot create life. And this is a very good argument for the existence of God, not to digress here, but if everything needs a creation, then everything would collapse. There would be nothing. There must be something at the start of this giant assembly line we call life that always existed and never had to be created. Because if the first thing needed to be created, there's nothing prior to God to create him, so you and I wouldn't even be here. There must be something that exists necessarily, something that exists out of necessity that never had to be created. It's impossible for there not to be a God. Your existence proves that God exists. So notice, it says, then God planted a garden eastward in Eden, and there he put the man whom he had formed. And out of the ground, notice how God's creating man. It says, first he formed man out of the dust of the ground and breathed into his nostrils the breath of life, and man became a living being. Then the Lord God plants a garden eastward in Eden, and there he puts the man whom he had formed. Now, out of the ground, you see a trend here. The Lord God made every tree grow that is pleasant to the sight and good for food. The tree of life was also in the midst of the garden, and the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. Now, we're going to show you something here. A lot of people miss this when Satan comes into the picture. Now, a river went out of Eden to water the garden. And we're going to bypass this because it goes through like all these different rivers, and there's gold in some lands and there's onyx stone in others. And you can read that, in your spare time. Genesis 2:10, it talks about a list of different rivers. And it's good that Moses lists that. See, this is not a fairy tale story. This is like history. It's geography. He's talking about different locations. Now notice here it says, then the Lord God took the man and put him in the Garden of Eden to tend and keep it. And the Lord God commanded the man, saying, of every tree, now watch this, see if you can remember this, just listen what God says, of every tree of the garden you may freely eat, but of the tree of knowledge and good and evil you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it you shall surely die. So Genesis 2:15, right? Mark that in your Bibles, or put a little post-it note there. What God says, the day you eat of it, you shall surely die. And the Lord God said, it is not good that man should be alone. I will make him a helper comparable to him. So out of the ground, again, the Lord God formed every beast of the field and every bird of the air and brought them to Adam to see what he would call them. And whatever Adam called each living creature, that was its name. There's a little joke to that, like in the beginning he's like platypus, hippopotamus, and he's got all these long names, and as he's getting exhausted, he's like pig, horse, dog, cow, like he's shortening the name. So notice Adam gives names to all the cattle, to the birds of the air, and to every beast of the field, but for Adam there was not found a helper comparable to him. And the Lord God caused a deep sleep to fall on Adam, and he slept. And he took one of his ribs and closed up the flesh in its place. Then the rib, which the Lord God had taken from man, he made into a woman, and he brought her to the man. So you heard the expository teaching on this. Notice he doesn't take a bone from Adam like on the foot so that man could be mean and rule over her. He doesn't take it from like the hand where the man can, say, hey, look, I'm able to point you to do this or that or what. What does he do? He takes it from the closest place from Adam's heart, and Adam says it best. After that, Adam said, now this is, he said, ooh la la, when he saw, he's like, this is much better than that bear. I can hug this woman and she doesn't break my ribs, And he's like, wait a minute, what happened to this rib? No, I'm kidding. So Adam said, this is now bone of my bones and flesh of my flesh. She shall be called woman because she was taken out of man. And here we have a great argument for marriage between a man and a woman. Therefore, a man shall leave his father and mother and be joined to his wife, and they shall become one flesh. And it says, and they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. Now, remember what I told you to keep track of, right? Check this out. This is interesting. Now, the serpent was more cunning than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. A lot of people believe, even though this is like poetic imagery and stuff, that this Satan really possessed the serpent. A lot of people believe that the serpent was a beautiful creature that stood upright. You ever see a cobra do that? How it kind of stands up like that? There's a theory that the serpent was able to walk upright, somewhat like the cobra did, or still does, you know, when the snake charmers are kind of charming them and stuff, but way upright, you know. So, but let's get on with this. So this is where Satan gets her. A lot of Christians fall. A lot of Christians slip when they don't know Scripture. And they'll be told lies like, well, homosexuality is okay. That was for the Old Testament. But now the New Testament, and if you don't know Scripture, you're going to buy into it. Or it's not sinful to be trans. But when you actually know Scripture, you'll agree that these things are sinful. Do you know it's a sin to be atheist? Did you guys know that? It's a sin to be Muslim. It's a sin to be Hindu. It's a sin. Remember Jesus said, you know, many will come to me and say, Lord, Lord. And he's going to say, look, I never knew you. Depart from me, you wicked, evil servants of iniquity. So this is why we do these Bible studies. We want to be rooted and grounded and have the full armor of God on. Because, as you know, we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities and powers and rulers in dark places. So here's how the serpent gets her. And he said to the woman, has God indeed said you shall not eat of every tree of the garden? So it starts off with a conversation trying to pull you away from the word of God. Now, she responds, but she makes a mistake in her response. Is it wrong to respond with Scripture? Not at all, as long as you're responding with accurate Scripture. Look what she says. And the woman said to the serpent, we may eat of the fruit of the trees of the garden. Okay, that's good. But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said you shall not eat it. But look what she says. Nor shall you touch it, lest you die. And that's all Satan needed to get. He realizes she's confused because God didn't say that. Let's go back. What did God say? But of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, you shall not eat, for in the day that you eat of it, you shall surely die. He didn't say you couldn't touch it. But that's all Satan needed to get her to doubt. And she doesn't even remember what God told her. Notice, she says, nor shall you touch it, lest you die. Then the serpent said to the woman, you will not surely die. For God knows that in the day you eat of it, your eyes will be opened, and you will be like God, knowing good and evil. So when the woman saw that the tree was good for food, that it was pleasant to the eyes, and a tree desirable to make one wise, she took of its fruit and ate. She also gave to her husband with her, and he ate. Then the eyes of both of them were open, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves coverings. And they heard the sound of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. Isn't this what we do, you guys? When we sin and we do something that we know we shouldn't be doing, and you hide from God, you don't want to hear Scripture. You know, we've all been guilty of that. Like, I don't feel too good about myself. You know, I don't know if I should. But let's look at our merciful God here, what he does. So they've sinned against God. God just wants the best for them. He's trying to protect them. And they hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God among the trees of the garden. They're probably like hiding behind trees and stuff. And here comes, I could picture in my mind's eye, Jesus Christ walking through there. Then the Lord God called to Adam and said to him, "Where are you?" So he said, "I heard your voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself." Now, look at the compassion that God has. And he said, "Who told you that you were naked? Have you eaten from the tree which I commanded you that you should not eat?" Then the man said, he passes the buck. You've heard this expository teaching. The woman whom you gave to be with me, she gave me the tree and I ate. And the Lord God said to the woman, "What is this you have done?" The woman said, "The serpent deceived me." Everyone's passing the buck here. "And I ate." So the Lord God said to the serpent, "Because you have done this, you are cursed more than all the cattle and more than every beast of the field. On your belly you shall go, and you shall eat dust." So this is why some people theorize that it was a beautiful serpent, very upright, and you would see him kind of like walking like that cobra, real long, you know, through the forest, you know, the garden. Tells Satan, the serpent, "You shall eat dust all the days of your life, and I will put," here it is, he tells him what he's going to do with Jesus Christ. Watch this. "I will put enmity between you and the woman." He's talking about sending Jesus Christ to go to the cross. "And between your seed and her seed, he shall bruise your head, and you shall bruise his heel. To the woman," he said, "I will greatly multiply your sorrow and your conception. In pain you shall bring forth children. Your desire shall be for your husband, and he shall rule over you." Then to Adam, he said, "Because you have heeded the voice of your wife and have eaten from the tree which I commanded you, saying, 'You shall not eat of it,' cursed is the ground for your sake. In toil you shall eat of it all the days of your life, both thorns and thistles it shall bring forth for you. And you shall eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of your face you shall eat bread till you return to the ground, for out of it you were taken, for dust you are, and to dust you shall return." And Adam called his wife's name Eve, because she was the mother of all living. Now look what happens here. This is, God talks to the serpent, and he talks about the prophecy, the promise of Jesus Christ. "You will bruise his heel, but he will crush your head." And now, like a type of Christ, a covering, a sin covering. Notice, "Also for Adam and his wife, the Lord God made tunics of skin and clothed them. Then the Lord God said, 'Behold, the man has become like one of us to know good and evil.'" And here you have something a lot of people don't understand. I'm going to give you my theory on this. "And now, lest he," talking about if Adam does this, "put out his hand and take also the tree of life and eat and live forever." Notice, "Therefore the Lord God sent him out of the Garden of Eden to till the ground from which he was taken. So he drove out the man, and he placed cherubim at the east of the Garden of Eden and a flaming sword which turned every way to guard the way to the tree of life." It seems to me that as they're eating from the tree of life, they're locked into this eternal state. And it also seems to me that if Satan could get them to sin and be condemned and then be locked into an eternal state, he would have had a great victory over God's creation. Notice, it appears God is saving them from being locked into their eternal state by, notice how God talks about forever. If they eat from the tree of life, they live forever. Maybe they would live forever in their sinful state. having again gone back to this tree of life. So he protects them and guards them from eating from that tree of life. So Adam and Eve Adam knew Eve, his wife, and she conceived and bore Cain and said, I have acquired a man from the Lord. Then she bore again, this time his brother Abel. Now Abel was a keeper of the sheep, but Cain was a tiller of the ground. And in the process of time, it came to pass that Cain brought an offering of the fruit of the ground to the Lord. Abel also brought of the firstborn of his flock and of their fat. And the Lord respected Abel and his offering, but he did not respect Cain and his offering. And Cain was very angry, and his countenance fell. So the Lord said to Cain, why are you angry, and why has your countenance fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin lies at the door, and its desire is for you, but you should rule over it. Interesting. Notice, God is saying, why are you angry? Why has your countenance fallen? If you do well, will you not be accepted? And if you do not do well, sin lies at the door, and its desire is for you, but you should rule over it. This is great advice. This is good stuff, you guys. Notice, God's basically saying, look, take responsibility. Notice, if you do well, and if you do not do well, notice everything's about Cain. But Cain has, rather than just solving the issue, he lashes out. Now Cain talked with Abel, his brother, and it came to pass when they were in the field that Cain rose up against Abel, his brother, and killed him. Then the Lord said to Cain, where is Abel, your brother? He said, I do not know. Am I my brother's keeper? And he said, what have you done? The voice of your brother's blood cries out to me from the ground. So now you are cursed from the earth, which has opened its mouth to receive your brother's blood from your hand. When you till the ground, it shall no longer yield its strength to you. A fugitive and vagabond you shall be on the earth. This is an interesting thing here. You know, I was thinking about this, how it says, you know, Cain goes out and he murders, he does this evil thing, and notice God says, when you till the ground, it shall no longer yield its strength to you. You know, I find this with certain people, like have you seen a lot of the people that are on drugs on the street? And they do crime, they do meth, they're doing crack, you know. And it seems like they just can't get ahead. It's almost like what happened here. When you till the ground, it shall no longer yield strength to you. There's something about it, like people will just have one bad thing happen to them after another, after another, after another. And sometimes, not all the time, but sometimes it's really, you know, a spiritual problem that they have, and God's trying to get their attention. And Cain said to the Lord, and look how loving God is. Remember when Adam and Eve sinned, he talked about Jesus going to the cross. He predicted that, and he covered them with the animal skins. So Cain's saying, look, this is a tough punishment. My punishment is greater than I can bear. Surely you have driven me out this day from the face of the ground. I shall be hidden from your face. I shall be a fugitive and a vagabond on the earth, and it will happen that anyone who finds me will kill me. And the Lord said to him, now, and this is just, you know, interesting to me. He kills his brother, and now he's talking about himself. Well, look, if anyone finds me, they're going to kill me. You know, it's like, he's like narcissistic. But God in his grace says, and the Lord said to him, therefore, whoever kills Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. And the Lord set a mark on Cain, lest anyone finding him should kill him. Now, what I noticed here, it says, and the Lord said to him, therefore, whoever kills Cain, vengeance shall be taken on him sevenfold. And the Lord set a mark on Cain, lest anyone finding him should kill him. This is interesting. Where else do we hear the phrase mark? A mark. The Antichrist. The beast. You know what I've noticed too is Satan likes to copy God a lot. He doesn't have any new ideas. He's always copying God because God always has the best ideas. So he will copy God. So notice, what does Satan do? When the Antichrist rears his wicked head, he causes all, Scripture says, to get a mark. If they don't get this mark, they cannot buy or sell. Notice, he's basically copying like what God did here with this mark, but he's creating his own. Now, remember when Jesus came onto the scene as the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world? Who went out and made the path straight for him first? John. You have John that's a witness for Jesus, and he's claiming that Jesus is the Lamb of God that takes away the sin of the world. What does Satan do? The Antichrist has this little prophet, you know, instead of John the Baptist, the Antichrist has this little false prophet guy that is doing basically like what John the Baptist did, but in an evil way. You know, John the Baptist is doing good. Jesus is doing good. But the Antichrist copies this, and Satan uses basically the same thing. There's a prophet that is, rather than making way the straight of the straight the way of the Antichrist, they're making it very crooked. And speaking of that, this is the end of this Bible study, but, you know, we do these Bible studies because you don't have to do anything fancy. You don't have to have any gimmicks or games. You know, in my life, talking to people about Scripture, I found that Scripture is true when God's Word says that His Word will go out and will not return to Him void. It will accomplish what it set forth to accomplish. So there's power in reading the Word of God. And so this concludes this Bible study of this part of Genesis. Now, so what we're going to do now is we're going to give out the phone number and we're going to do the atheist challenge again and hope that some atheists have the courage of their convictions to call up. Here's the phone number, and then I'm going to give you the atheist challenge question for this evening. I'm going to give out the phone number twice, 515-602-9778. That's 515-602-9778. When you call up, just kind of say your first name, and I won't give out your phone number. I'll just kind of say the first three digits of your phone number so you know to come on the air. I promise we will be very polite and respectful to you. And I'm going to ask you this challenge question. What proof and evidence can you provide that proves atheism is accurate and correct? And you could answer it any way you want. Now, no atheist called in before the Bible study. We have about 19 minutes, 20 minutes. We'll see if any call in. If you know any atheist, give them a call. Tell them to come on to the show, and we'll give them we don't want them to like talk forever, but they should be able to answer it like a minute, 2 minutes, three, even 4 minutes. We'll put them on the air and let's see what they do. I've been asking this question. It's the longest running atheist challenge really on social media. I've been asking it for 18 years, like over 18 years now. And I've never really had an atheist at all that was able to prove that atheism is accurate and correct. And a lot of my friends that were atheists, and yours truly, we left atheism because it has an evidence problem. There is no evidence that atheism is accurate and correct, as you can see by the lack of the telephone calls coming in. But I'm watching the screen. If I see an atheist call in, I'll stop what I'm doing, and we'll put you on the line. We'll be very respectful to you, even though you're wrong, and we'll ask you this question, and you can give it your best shot. Now, the other week we did a show and we talked about the song Battle Hymn of the Republic, which was a poem that a Christian woman had written, and her name was Julia Ward Howe. And what she did is she helped to stop slavery. And do you know that it's the Christians, not the atheists, not the Muslims, not anyone else really, but the Christians were the ones that helped stop slavery. Now, recently, the Democrats have been pushing what's called reparations, and I'm going to tell you why there'll never be reparations. It's the dumbest idea ever, and it's also immoral to give reparations. Let's say you and I that have never owned slaves, why should we be punished for what someone else did with their slaves? Yeah, I never had, you know, slaves. I bet I have relatives that used to be slaves back in Egypt, you know, building those bricks without, you know, hay, without straw, I should say. But I'm not asking for reparations. So, but here's why, you know, Christians were totally against slavery. The Western slavery was different than like slavery in scripture, where you were like an indentured servant and you could choose to be a slave and put your ear on the doorpost. And we all know those scriptures, but, listen to this. You would think that when you listen to like, the atheist Democrats, that everyone like in American history had slaves. Like, let's say you and I were living back then in the slave time, that you'd have slaves, I'd have slaves. Do you know, get this, and I'm going to cite the source, Integrated Public Use Microdata at the University of Minnesota. It says that about 1.4% of Americans own slaves. Yes, it's horrible. Yes, everyone's against it. And that's why us Christians, we stopped it. But you can't punish 100% of the people for 1.4% of the people's issue. You know, and this is why there'll never be reparations, because reparations would be unjust. Another issue is like what the Democrats are doing with the Second Amendment rights. I saw a wonderful speech by a black man at a city council meeting, and he was saying, why is it every time like one of these atheist school shooters, you notice like there's something about atheism and school shootings, why is it that then I'm told that I have to turn in my gun? And this black man, this bold black man speaking truth, he was right. And I was like, finally someone says it. Well, it's the same thing with reparations also. You know, 1.4% of free people had slaves. Yes, they were wrong to do that. They were definitely, you know, wrong to do it. But you're not going to get people, you know, you're not going to punish like 100% of the population to give reparations. We didn't have slaves, and it wasn't like, you know, this huge majority of people owned slaves. It was only 1.4% of the population. Now, there's a debate. They're saying, well, no, it was really 1.6%. Let's say it was 2%, and it's not even that high. Yes, it was wrong. Yes, it was great that it took the Christians to abolish it, But, you know, two wrongs don't make a right. So this is why you'll never see reparations, because it, as soon as the other side speaks truth and says, look, you know, less than 2% of Americans had slaves, you can't punish other people when they didn't do it. Just like what that black man was saying at the city council meeting, atheist school shooter goes, shoots up a bunch of people. Why then do they go to the black man who's doesn't even have a criminal record and he owns a firearm and he has a concealed weapons permit? Why are they going after his weapon? It's so stupid. What it really is these founders, these old white geezers, these brilliant old white guys, they've created something in America that is genius. The Second Amendment is absolutely brilliant. And the Marxist Democrats, they want to stop that. Listen, we've had guns here in America for thousands of years, you know, hundreds of years, I should say, hundreds and hundreds of years, since, you know, 1776, 1780, you know, we've had guns. Why all of a sudden are the Democrats trying to take them? The reason why they're taking them is because they want to do something where you would be so upset that you'd want to use your gun to fight tyranny. That's why they want to take them. What evil are they trying to do where you would be so on the defense, having to use your guns to defend yourself, that they really want to take them away from you? There's some type of evil that they want to do to you. No atheists are calling, ladies and gentlemen. Let that be a lesson to you. There is no evidence that atheism is accurate and correct. We did have an atheist call on one of our other shows, and unfortunately, he failed to provide proof and evidence that atheism was accurate and correct. He said artifacts prove that atheism is accurate and correct. And I said, well, what artifact? And he said, because the calendars are different. You know how you have different calendars? And, of course, I don't know how a calendar being different proved that God is non-existent. He just couldn't make the connection, but at least he had the guts to call up and answer the question. Well, we're getting down to about 12 minutes and 30 seconds, and I'd like to give you guys a little bit of American history, our Christian American history. Our phone number is 515-602-9778. Atheists, you still got a chance to call in and answer the question. What proof and evidence can you provide that would finally at last prove that atheism is accurate and correct? I'll be watching the screen as I kind of go through Thomas Jonathan Stonewall Jackson's history. Now, you guys heard of Stonewall Jackson. He is known as one of the country's greatest generals that ever lived. He served under Robert E. Lee. And he was absolutely brilliant in battle. He had tremendous success. You can read about him. We're limited on time, but I'll tell you a little bit about him. You could read about him in the Battle of Bull Run, also Shenandoah Valley, Port Republic, Cross Keys, the 7 Days Battle, and the Second Battle of Bull Run. Now, listen to what he said. He was a professor of philosophy and tactics at the Virginia Military Institute. We have the writings of this great man. We have the letters that he had written to people. This Christian American history that we have is amazing. He said, when we take our meals, there is the grace. When I take a draught of water, I always pause to lift up my heart to God in thanks and prayer for the water of life. Whenever I send a letter, I send a petition along with it for God's blessing upon its mission and upon the person to whom it is sent. When I open a letter, I stop to pray to God that he may prepare me for its contents. When I go to my classroom and await the arrangement of the cadets in their places, that is my time to intercede with God for them. So this general, he's praying for his men. Just amazing. Now, no atheists are calling in. We're down to about 10 minutes, folks. Let that be a lesson to you that atheism lacks evidence. We have a letter, but I'm watching the screen. If they call, it pops right up on my screen. I'll put them in. And we have a letter here, and you can Google it, Bing it. In 1842, they have a letter that Jackson wrote to his uncle, Alfred Neil, when his brother passed. His brother's name was Warren. And here's what he said in the letter to his uncle. I have received no answer to my last communication conveying the sad news of my brother's premature death. He died in the hopeality at the right hand of his Redeemer. He's talking, ladies and gentlemen, about Jesus Christ, your Redeemer. As time is knowledge, I must hasten my pen forward. We have received the smile of bounteous providence in a favorable spring. There is a volunteer company being formed here to march to Texas in order to assist in the noble cause of liberty. So it's just fascinating to read about our Christian history. The Democrat Marxist, like the squad that are trying to take down statues and trying to have our history fall under the evil, wicked umbrella of revisionism. But not on our watch, ladies and gentlemen. We will educate the masses. Nowadays, you have to speak louder. You have to speak stronger. You have to make up for the timid, poor souls that are afraid to speak. And so we appreciate you also speaking up louder for the truth of Jesus Christ. Ladies and gentlemen, we're down to 8 minutes and 30 seconds. No atheists are calling in with the courage of their convictions to answer the question. So I'll continue. They have a letter where Jackson had written to his aunt in 1852, Mrs. Clementine Neal. And here's what this letter said. Listen to this. Just beautiful. The subject of becoming herald of the cross has often seriously engaged my attention, and I regard it as the most noble of all professions. It is the profession of our divine Redeemer, and I should not be surprised were I to die upon a foreign field, clad in ministerial armor, fighting under the banner of Jesus. What could be more glorious? But my conviction is that I am doing good here, and that for the present, I am where God would have me be. Within the last few days, I have felt an unusual religious joy. I do rejoice to walk in the love of God. My Heavenly Father condescended to use me as an instrument in getting up a large Sabbath school for the Negroes here. He has greatly blessed it, and I trust all who are connected with it. So you notice he's starting a church for the, as he says, the Negroes. Ladies and gentlemen, 7 minutes left. No atheist has proof and evidence that atheism is accurate and correct. They're not calling in. Again, tell the atheists about this show. Let's see if they can put their money where their mouth is and give us some proof and evidence that atheism is true. So far, for 18 years, no atheist has been able to conquer that challenge. Now, we have a letter here that he had written to his wife, Mary Ann. And he says, my precious pet, yesterday we fought a great battle and gained a great victory, for which all the glory is due to God alone. My preservation was entirely due, as was the glorious victory, to our God, to whom be all the honor, grace, and glory. Now, you guys, by the way, if you're listening to the show, I have a suggestion for you. It doesn't even cost you anything, but you're really going to like this. Click follow, and you'll get like a little free account here. You'll have like a little free mini radio account, and you could actually see what I see. You could see like the back studio controls, and it's pretty neat. You can kind of mess around with it and have yourself a practice show. If you're a Christian, you could do your Bible studies on this. And it's a really, I get nothing for saying this, but Blog Talk Radio is really a great media to use. But if you click follow, this is the first time I've said this on the show, but what I've noticed is, because I've done that with other shows here, and it will send you an email whenever we're going to have a show. It's pretty cool. Now, you will get an email every time we go to have a show. So I want to just kind of be honest and tell you about that, because I followed a bunch of different shows and Patriot shows here. There's a lot of wonderful shows here, and I'm getting emails all the time. So I kind of regret following a lot of them. But if you're not following any shows yet, click follow on our page, and it'll ask you for your email and stuff. And then you don't even have to follow this page after that. It'll automatically email you when we're going to have a show. Now, if you saw that movie, what was that movie called that Mel Gibson, I got to look it up, because that's just going to drive me crazy. Mel. Oh, yeah. Mel Gibson. Desmond Doss. Hacksaw Ridge. Yeah. I shouldn't have second guessed myself. That movie, like Hacksaw Ridge, was amazing. And you know how they're about to climb the mountain to grapple with the grappling hooks and everything, and the upper commander is like, what is taking so long? And they're like, we're waiting for the prayer to end. Like, who? And they're like, we're waiting for Desmond Doss, you know, to finish praying. Well, General Stonewall Jackson actually did that before going into battle, and they have his prayer here, what he said. He said, oh God, let this horrible war quickly come to an end, that we may all return home and engage in the only work that is worthwhile, and that is the salvation of men. Is that epic or what? So when we started doing the show, you know, there's lots of topics you can talk about. I see that there's people doing motorcycle. They talk about motorcycles. There's even shows here where they're talking about that fake wrestling, you know, where they go to throw the guy on the ground and they slam their foot on the ground. I mean, everyone can see it's fake, and then they hold their back, you know. But, you know, that show has a lot of views. But what could be more worthwhile, like General Jackson said, than the salvation of men? So we've decided to do what Jesus said and follow the narrow path and talk about the salvation of men. You know, we have about 2 minutes left. So the salvation, sorry, it just said real loud in my ear, 90 seconds, you know, real loud. So now it's a 2 minute. The salvation of Jesus Christ is simple. God plants himself in the tempting flesh of men. He lives a perfect, sinless life. He goes to the cross and he dies. He resurrects and he takes your punishment on the cross. And we as Christians believe that God's standard is perfection. No sin can make it into heaven. And since scripture says all have sinned and fallen short of the glory of God, Muhammad is not going to work for you. Buddhism, Hinduism cannot work for you. These are like religions where you have to do this and do that. I call them do-do religions. But God came down, like General Jackson said, and he humbled himself and he went to the cross for you and lived a perfect life. So when you put your hope, faith, and trust in the finished work of the cross, you can be saved. It is awesome. This is why one of the last words Jesus said on the cross when he died was, it is finished. And this does also finish our show. God bless you guys. I love you. Have a great week. Don't forget to follow us. Bye for now.